the foundational scripture, for example, the charity Love Never Fails International, Proverbs 19, 17. He who has pity upon the poor lendeth unto God, and God will pay back what has been given. That word pity is not sympathy. Oh, I feel sorry for you. No, it means this. I see it, and now I'm going to do something about it.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Friday and welcome. Today on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill concludes the message he began yesterday, entitled Right Thinking, from his series in the New Testament Epistle of Romans. Let's listen in.
I prayed with her. The next thing I know, instead of being obedient to what I shared with her, she did get into trouble. It took many months of counseling, and God did restore their marriage. And then they departed from here. We laid hands upon them, and they went into full-time ministry. See, God can clean up and heal and everything, amen? But it's in proportion of your faith. It takes faith to say those things. And sometimes you're going, God, is that you? Is that me? Is that pizza? Do you understand what I mean? No, this is very important because, see, this is how you grow in your faith. This is not about being magnifying yourself or anything. Listen, whenever God uses you in a prophecy to someone, listen to me now, that humbles you, but it really helps them. Amen? Because you're so afraid. You know, I've told you this before. I'll never forget the time Becky, all of us, we were there in our house, the dinner table, we're getting ready. We just prayed and asked God to bless our food. As God is my witness, you can ask my wife. I looked up and the Holy Spirit of God flooded, the presence of God flooded our dining room. And I started trembling. And I said, oh my God, honey. I said, the Lord just showed me. He spoke to my heart. And Becky said, well, what is it? I said, I've never seen such darkness in my life, in our country. And I said, we're getting ready to go to war. I said, something is getting ready to happen that's horrible in this nation. It's so horrible that I can't stand the darkness. 1 week later, 9/11 happened. Now, I had the faith to prophesy and share with her, but I did not have the faith to come before you and say, this next week, there's going to be the worst thing imaginable happening to our nation. Do you understand? You see, I just couldn't do it. I didn't have the faith to do it. But see, we move in prophecy. That's how we grow and grow and grow. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. He can use us to do anything. Now listen, look now at these giftings and let's make sure we're thinking right. Look at the next one. It says here, our ministry, verse 7, let us do something. What? Use it in our ministry. The word ministry there is the word service. In the Greek, we get our English word deacon. It means to serve. It means the gift of helps. It means to come along people and help them, minister to them, and so forth. It's kind of like the Mary and Martha ministry. Remember there in Luke chapter 10, you know, when Jesus said, oh, Martha was so busy serving, she came in there and got all over the Lord, said, Lord, don't you care that I'm in here washing these dishes and cooking your dinner alone? What about Mary? Oh, Martha, Martha, you're troubled about so many things. You know the story. I don't need to go. But listen. You see, we do need to be like Martha, and we do need to be like Mary. We need with our hands to minister and serve the Lord, and yet with our heart, we need to sit at the feet of Jesus. Amen? Listen, whatever you've been given, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:18, you've been given the ministry of reconciliation. You're an ambassador of Christ. Listen, you are gifted. You're the most special people on this very planet. And oh, God, help us. How about teaching? Look at teaching now. He who teaches in teaching. Now, this right here, this is referring to where God's word is not only proclaimed, but God's word is explained, okay? Now, this is a supernatural gift. This is not saying I'm a teacher, I can teach math, that's a wonderful thing, or teach English, that's great, great. But listen, this gift is from heaven. This gift is not dependent upon education, okay? You don't have to have your doctorate degree. You don't have to go to seminary. That's not, none of those things. This gift is not dependent upon education. Now listen to me. Never say God's called you to the ministry, but here you're sitting here right now and you're saying to yourself, yes, I believe God's called me, but I just don't have what it takes. I think he's called me maybe to start, plant a church or be a pastor or whatever. Listen, you don't need a seminary degree. I'm very pro Bible education. I'm very pro education. But you don't have to have a degree if God has given you that gift. Do you understand? Don't ever, ever, ever let that stop you. Don't ever let that stop you. Boy, God will do great things for you. Why? He's given you a supernatural gift. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, what did the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the other people, when they looked at Peter, John, and James, they looked at them and they knew that they were uneducated and untrained men, but they realized that they had been with Jesus. Listen, all you need is what God has given unto you. You never know. You could be the next Billy Graham. You might be the next D.L. Moody, who I consider to be the greatest evangelist that ever lived in all time. Incredible man of God. He didn't even have an eighth grade education. He was a shoe salesman. You know what? They wouldn't even let him preach in the church. You know what he did? He said, well, can I rent pews? They said, what? Yeah, can I rent the first three pews? Why? Because I'm going to go bring people. I'm going to win them to the Lord, and I'm going to fill up those pews. You know what he did? That's what he did. Amen. He would never go home. He would never retire unless he had shared or led someone to Christ during that day. Amen. Why? He was an evangelist. They made fun of the way he talked, but God had gifted him and used him mightily. That's what it's all about, loved one, is the giftings that God has put up in us. Look at this one now in verse 8. This is great. He who exhorts in exhortation, that the Greek word parakaleo, it means to come along the side of someone. For what? To encourage them, to help them, to when they're hurting. See, listen, how wrong it is if you have that gift and I'm over here and I'm hurting. Do you understand? And God says, this person, he needs to be exhorted, and I put the gift of exhortation in you, and you're not over there doing your job. But you see it. You know it. You even feel it. You see it upon their face. Do you understand? And there they are right there. And they're so wounded. They're so broken. They believe God will never use them, will never forgive them. They need someone to parakaleo, come alongside of them, put their arm around them and say, hey, you look like you're going through something. Let's talk. I have a gift. You don't have to say that, but you have a gift. And then you know what happens? It starts igniting in you. And you start saying things to that person and you're going, it's not me talking. Come on. You know it. It's not you, but you know it's the Holy Spirit. And you know that you're saying the exact right words to give to that individual. And then you see the countenance change. You see their eyes start changing. You see a smile and the burden starting to be lifted. That is a great gift that's needed today. Oh, don't hide that gift. Listen, what would have happened when Barnabas, remember when Paul and Barnabas and Mark, they got into that, Paul got upset with Mark because they were on their first missionary journey. And Mark said, I'm going home, man. And he left, went back to mama. You know the story. And boy, the contention between Barnabas and Paul became so divisive. What happened? They split up. And Barnabas, what did he do? He went to get Mark. Remember his name? Son of consolation, Barnabas, son of consolation, son of encouragement. He went, put his arm around Mark. Later on, what did Paul do when he was in prison? He said, hey, send Mark. He's useful for my ministry. You see, exhortation is so needed. You know, if we would only be others-centered, where we look out there and we see the hurt in someone where it hurts us. Why? We're the body. If one member suffers, we all suffer. You see, exhortation is a great, great gift. If you have that gift and you're not using it, you are not thinking right. You have wrong thinking. Look at this next one. It says, he who gives with what? Liberality. Man. He who gives with liberality. If any of the gifts in the church have passed away, it's this one. Come on. Oh, yeah. Listen, this gift is incredible. This gift, this is a person who gives no motive. They don't want anything. They don't even want thanks. Most of the time, they don't even want the person to know. You know, in all of my life, but let's let you say, in all the time I've been in the church, there I've only met two people who have this gift. And I admire them and love them and respect them like you cannot believe. One of them, she's gone now. One of the greatest women I have ever known. I loved her. She loved God. I cannot tell you how many times that she would send me, say, Bill, take this envelope and go take it to such and such a house, such and such a person. I'd take it and it'd be full of cash to help them. I can't tell you how many times that surgery for someone they didn't have, couldn't pay it in the hospital. She said, Bill, we've got to go help that person. She's take this check down to JPS right now, or take this check down to Harris Hospital. Take it right this minute. Unbelievable. I watched that. I had the honor of to bury her, her funeral. You know what she put on her tombstone? Love never fails. And the other person that I know who's an incredible, has this gift, they actually belong to this church. Never met people quite like that. They would never let you know who they are. Oh, what an incredible, incredible gift. Look at the next one. He who leads with what? Diligence. That means eagerness. Do you have that gift? The word leads there means to literally to be in front of people. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm in front of you. I'm the pastor, for example. You may not like that, but I am. That's the way it is. You know, don't let it get out either. Now, do you understand? I stand in front. But see, I want you all united. I want us one man with one heart, with one cause and one purpose. Amen? That's what we're to do. Oh, and I look and I say, Lord, man, you know what the Bible says about those who lead? The word lead means rule, but that doesn't mean leaders are not rulers. They're servants. Okay? The Bible tells us in Hebrews 13:7 tells us to do something about those who stand in front of you. It says, remember, that means don't forget. Remember those who lead or rule over you. Tend to the sheep, that love the sheep, that feed the sheep. He says, those who have spoken the word of God to you. Here's the word of God. It says, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Hebrews 13:17. Obey those who rule, same word, means to lead, who lead over you, and be submissive. That's talking about you guys. Impossible. Now, listen, why? Here's why. For they, meaning pastors, they watch out for your souls. Did you know? Listen, I know there's some crummy pastors, but I'll tell you something. 99.9% of the pastors, they love the sheep. They, you know, they're good people, meaning that they care for what they do. They want to be a good shepherd. They want to fulfill what God has called them to do. It says, oh, they watch out for your souls. He says, and listen, as those who must give an account, I have to give an account of my pastor to the Lord. Now listen carefully. Let them, that's you guys, let pastors do so with joy, not with grief. Huh? Let me read it again. You didn't get it. You're not thinking right. Let them do so with joy and not with grief. Why? Well, that would be unprofitable to you. I'll let you interpret that scripture for yourself. Now, right thinking, it says in the next one, look at it. He who shows mercy, and look how he does it, with what? With cheerfulness. Listen, that's that right thinking. This gift, the gift of mercy, is not, oh, have mercy on him, God. No. It's not, I feel sorry for you. That's nonsense. Mercy means, oh, I see it. Now I'm going to do something about it. You see, the foundational scripture, for example, the charity, Love Never Fails International, Proverbs 19:17. He who hath pity, mercy, he who has pity upon the poor lendeth unto God, and God will pay back what has been given. That word pity is not sympathy. Oh, I feel sorry for you. No, it means this. I see it, and now I'm going to do something about it. Do you understand? That's so important today. We need that today. Mercy is an action. God says, that's what I want. You're a merciful people. That's a gift. You know, this is not a good example, but, you know, 2 weeks ago, man, I went outside and I thought, am I hearing a cat? You know, a cat? And I couldn't see it, but I could hear it. And so Becky was, man, she makes this kielbasa, you know, cabbage and sausage. And, oh, man, I mean, so the cat was smelling it. So the next thing I knew, you know, the screen door was open, and there was this cat. Man, I looked at that cat. He was cut to pieces. I mean, and his back was wide open, and oh, it was horrible. He was starving to death. His ears had been chewed off nearly. I mean, it was terrible. Well, see, mercy would say, well, you're a cat. I feel sorry for you. You know, you're hungry? Well, you know what I did? What any person would do, I went out there and I made him a bed, got him, and I gave him all that kielbasa sausage. The skin, you know what I mean? He ate all of that. Then he ate nearly a whole chicken. Then he passed out. And then we started doctoring. Am I talking too much? Doctoring him up, you know what I mean? Now he's getting better. He's gained weight. He sits in my lap. Why? I showed mercy. Do you understand? I did something about that's what mercy does. And I'm sorry, it's a poor example. Let's keep going. Now, I know I've got to finish because it's time. Okay, quickly. Right thinking understands, believes, and acts upon the biblical fact that spiritual gifts that God has given unto you are not optional. 1 Peter 4:10, let me read it. As each one of you has received, that means you didn't earn it, received a gift, a spiritual gift, minister or serve with it or use it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Everyone, every believer, if you don't have a spiritual gift, you are not born from above. Do you understand? Okay, you have the gift, whatever God has given to you. And it tells us here, this spiritual gift, that we didn't earn it, we didn't work for it, we didn't go to Bible college to get it. No, not at all. It says you have it. It's been given from heaven. And you know what? You are a steward. A steward is someone who takes care of another's property, meaning that you will give an account of your gifting if you did not use it in this lifetime. Oh, listen, no other part of my human body can do what my right hand does. Do you understand? It's desperately needed. Gentlemen, have you ever tried, if you're right-handed, have you ever tried to shave with your left hand? It's a catastrophe, isn't it? I don't mean those sissy electric shavers. No, I mean when you got the blade, you know, the blade. Yeah. Oh, listen, I can't do that. And, you know, it's like I told the first service, I said, I don't know what's going on in my life, but, you know, my hand, my right hand, it just shakes a lot now. And I hate that, but it does. Have you, man, you know what I'm talking about. Have you ever, you know, you want to shave by your nose, but your hand's going like that, and that razor's just. Oh, listen, I pray in the spirit when I do that, you know, because I'm going, I try to slow it down and all that. Never mind. What happens if you don't do your gift? The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:14, Paul tells Timothy, he says, Timothy, do not neglect the gift that is in you. What would have happened had my pastor, Pastor Chuck, what would have happened had he not used the gift that God had given him? There would have been no Jesus movement, or it wouldn't have been by Pastor Chuck. That's the movement I was saved in the hippie days, remember? Oh, listen, no, you know, it's so important. The spiritual gift that you have and you don't exercise is not going to help anyone at all. And here's the problem. I pray you don't leave here today and say, well, okay, I got a gift. I don't know. Listen to me. Some of you are sitting here right now. Now, you know you have a gift. But maybe you don't know what it is, but you're passively waiting for God to do something and say, okay, there it is. No. Listen, that's wrong thinking. Right thinking says, I'm no longer going to be a spectator. I am going to be a participator and step out doing something in order to find my gift and what God has called me to. Now listen, and then the moment you step into that, that is when you will change lives of other people. That's when you will start encouraging other people. And one last thing, listen, this is the most important thing about right thinking. If you don't operate in love concerning your spiritual gifts, then they are worthless. Do you understand? They're worthless. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1? He says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but if I have not love, listen to what he says, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. In other words, all I do is make a bunch of noise. No, I can pray in all kinds of the spirit tongue. It doesn't matter. He goes on, he says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand every mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all kinds of faith, miracle working power faith, so that I could remove mountains, but if I don't have love, I am nothing. Look it up in the Amplified. I'm a useless nobody. Listen, love is the energy behind the gifts. That's how mercy works. Why? The love of God has been shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit that's been given unto you. The gifts that God has given you, the gifts of help, all the gifts, the administration, whatever that God has given. Listen to me now. Do you know what troubled me? You know why I became a Calvary Chapel pastor? One of the reasons. Thank you. It was because the movement that I was in based maturity and success on gifts rather than the fruit. In other words, what do I mean by that? You see, fruit shows my maturity. The fruit of the Spirit is, okay, it shows my maturity. Fruit in my life. Glory to glory. Fruit in my life shows I'm growing up. But you see, the gifts of the Spirit, no, listen, the gifts show my ministry. Do you understand? That's what God's called me to do. And gifts are never, ever, I don't care if a person can lay hands on the sick and they jump out of a wheelchair. That is not a sign that that person is mature. That is not a sign that that person has any depth of character at all. It is always love. It is always the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. That is how a person grows. Now listen, in order for this church to go wherever it's going while I'm here and after I'm gone, you got to get connected. You have to get committed. You have to be a working part of the body. Every person has to do their share. In order for us to go like Joshua, remember what God told Joshua? He said, listen, Joshua, in Joshua 3, he said, you're going, Joshua, where you've never been before. And everybody was going to go with him. They were going to cross the Jordan. Listen, all of us together, all of us working together, we have to help each other get across this spiritual Jordan, the next spiritual Jordan, and et cetera, et cetera. Amen? In other words, we need one another. And you know what? Don't be left behind. Let's cross over into whatever God has for us and do so together. That's what it's all about. Imagine, Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, everybody is participating, everybody's doing their gifting, and we're all walking in agreement with the head of the church, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's called right thinking. Jesus said something as I close in Matthew 22:42, I believe it is. Jesus said this. He said, what do you think? What do you think, he said, about Christ? Who is he? Whose son is he? Loved one, listen to me. If you don't know Jesus, there's only one way to have right thinking, and that's to receive Christ if he's not your Lord. If not, that's called wrong thinking.
Well, it's been a wonderful week of Bible study, and we are always grateful for the freedom to proclaim God's word freely. Amen? We hope you'll tune in on Monday when Pastor will continue this series with the message, Cling to What is Good. Have a great weekend, everyone, and so long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.